Hi, welcome to another episode of Song Title Challenge, where the question is, climbers, how would you write this one? So being challenged, Brent and I were challenged at one point to write a song on a podcast, which just doesn't translate in any way, shape, or form, but we like the idea of the challenge. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, you know what? We'll have climbers, like listeners of this podcast, like you, send in their song titles to info@daredevilproduction.com. Production is singular. There is no S. info@daredevilproduction.com. Put song title challenge or STC in the subject line so it gets into the right folder. If you don't, it won't. And what I do is go through and spring a song title on Brent and a guest that we have on the podcast, kind of live while we're recording it. So they haven't heard this before, had any time to prepare. And then we try to cook up five or six different conceptual angles for how you would write the lyric. How, you know, which way could you go? Sometimes the low hanging fruit, the first thing that comes to your mind, is the best way to go. But I would venture to say the vast majority of times it's not. It really is like five or six concepts deep where you're like, there it is. That's the way you're going to write it. That is the coolest thing I've ever heard. That's going to be awesome. And then, you know what? They're turning into songs. We're having climbers that are writing them. We're having people demo them. One of them is going to become a cut at some point. I can guarantee you that. And super good. You want to add, it's not a co-write in any way, shape, or form. It is just a fun, creative exercise. So, this kind of creative exercise is super important for bringing new life to your old hooks in your hook book. Brent went through, after doing these for a while, decided to start practicing what he preaches.
Yep.
And said, you know what? I'm going to go back to day one and pick like 20 titles and pick one out of there. And you got what, over 4,000 hooks?
Yeah. Yeah. Unwritten.
There you go. And then, you know what, like going through this, it kind of revives the energy and that hook. You're like, oh yeah. And then you've actually taken some of those ideas and gotten some songs written like that have, yeah. and got some cuts.
That's right. Them, or, yeah.
Yeah.
So stuff out currently that was in the old song title list unwritten for a couple decades, you know, or at least a decade or several years, and starting to see some activity on those, which is really fun to know that, okay, they're not dead just because they're 5-6 years old. So
that's right. So anything you want to add to that, Brent, before you introduce our guest today?
This is going to be fun. So this is live theater. I and our guests have not seen this title. So first time you hear it is the first time we hear it. And so we'll just see what happens.
Well, there we go, Brent. Why don't you introduce our guest and then we'll get going.
Sure. Our guest today is a buddy of mine. First met him when a mutual friend, Lisa Schaefer, brought me in on an idea that he and her had started or had talked about and brought me in on it. And I'm very thankful for that, especially every quarter. Well, it doesn't show up that much, but, you know, I still see it. But we got that song cut by Joe Nichols, a song called Crickets. So I was batting 1,000 with this guy and our batting average has gone straight down from there. But it was good while it lasted. And he's legit, yo. He is in the Country Radio Broadcasters Hall of Fame as a DJ. So his voice has graced the airwaves for quite a while in markets. And so he's also a songwriter successful. We mentioned the Joe Nichols cut, has a song on the Grammy winning album by Hillary Scott, the gospel album. Also has a current bluegrass single by Del McCurry, who's just a legend in the bluegrass world. If you know bluegrass, you know Del, and Del is cool. And a bunch of other cuts as well. We're on a Ray Stevens record together, not as co-writers, but on the same record. And so that's when I started seeing his name around a bunch. And so he writes comedy, he writes country, he writes bluegrass, he'll write gospel. He'll just write the pants off anything. So this is my buddy. Welcome, Bill White. Hey, bud.
Hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And the lesson there and all of that, Brent, is you had a choice to keep writing with Lisa or me, and you chose me, and it's gone straight downhill ever since. Yeah, so.
Well, it's funny. For the next time, Bill and I didn't write again for quite a while, and our buddy Nathan Woodard, I think, was our first like co-write after Cricket. So we just hadn't gotten back in the room, and so, you know, I gave Nathan a hard time. I said, you know, if this song doesn't get cut, we know what the problem is, because Bill and I always get cuts together.
We've never not 100% of the time.
And so, yeah. Nathan, if this doesn't happen, we know where the problem
is. It's always fun to make the Christian writer feel guilty. They start praying right away. That's great.
That's awesome. All right, gents. So are you ready for our song?
Not at all.
Yeah, man.
All right.
All right, this is from John Holman.
John
is our songwriter. My hot take on this is I have no earthly clue where we're going to go with this because I'm trying to figure out how to make this true. I guess I don't believe it's true, but the title is People Come Cheap. People Come Cheap.
Ooh, People Come Cheap, man. Okay, there's a statement.
John, I mean, it's a statement that would make me want to hear what the song is. So I feel like the title's provocative. Yeah. I want to know what the heck it is they're talking about. But I'm like, there's no low-hanging fruit that hit me in the head, Newton style.
No. On this one. Bill, did you make Johnny mad at some point for picking this title? This that's is not a,
yeah, I'm just thinking this won't be easy. Yeah, so it's like, it's almost like you want an add-on for a title like that. People Come Cheap, but they don't come easy, you know, or something.
Yeah.
You know, to back end tag
which
it
we
a little
which
bit.
We are entitled to do, sir. We could take all that creative life. We can put anything in the front of it. We can put anything in the back of it. So feel free. Oh, and one final thing, Bill, is that you're not bound, let's say, by any kind of genre on this exercise. Okay, yeah. So if it could be rock and roll or
That's good to know because electronic rap is my game, well, good.
I was gonna say you got a single coming out,
yeah,
right? Like
so
you and Dead Mouse, like got together.
Doesn't make a bit of sense, but it's dirty, you know. So
it just has a lot of cuss words in a row.
And I'm
one of nine writers on it. It's the same cuss word.
That's exactly right.
It's only one word in the whole song, but there's nine writers on it. And
that reminds me of this. I had a political cartoon I saw in the newspaper, cut it out like back when we got the newspaper back in Batesville years ago. It was like when Two Live Crew was, you know, a thing. And it was just these two dudes sitting there and they're like, hey, we're from the rap group Way Too Crude or something. And this is how we create lyrics for our albums. And one guy just hits the other guy in the hand with a hammer. And then called it, you know, all the blanked out.
And they put a mic up to him.
Yeah,
man, I wrote a song once with a couple of guys called I Rap Caucasianally, you know, which is more of a redneck approach to rapping, you know.
So. That's hysterical. hysterical.
People come cheap, my goodness.
We are procrastinating.
Wow, that's a tough one now.
People come cheap, but.
Yeah. I like how Bill added the tag on, but they don't, you know, come easy or something. I think of the. What's his name? From the Eagles, the drummer. Oh my gosh.
Don Henley.
Thank you. Why am I blanking on his name? But anyway, that song is called The Garden of Allah, where he is basically the devil, right? He's taking on the point of view of the devil.
I don't know that song. We're in the Garden of Allah. I know the Garden of Eden, right?
Yeah,
they did that.
The Garden of Allah, I believe. It was on his actual Miles Greatest Hits record that I have had forever. It's really, really cool, really kind of creepy and stuff. But it's a little bit of like a sympathy for the devil. I mean, totally different vibe, different song, but he's speaking from the point of view of the devil. And so you could, you know, take a reach there and go, you know what? We're going to sing from the point of view of the devil, or I bet the devil's thinking people come cheap. I get them for almost nothing.
No, that's right? Good.
People
that's good.
Or, you know, they come to me cheap, right? Because I'll just get them for... $1 million, man. They'll sell their soul for money. They'll sell their soul for love, for envy, greed, all this stuff. Yes, Johnny.
I was just thinking, like, you could do a, you know how Billy Joel has the We Didn't Start the Fire?
Yeah.
What if you could run down, or at least you could make the story about, or rattle off a bunch of names. I'm thinking Robert Johnson comes to mind, who... The legend says he sold his soul to the devil for the talent to play guitar. And then you could make some political statements. You could make some social statements.
Yeah.
People come cheap. Let me just tell you how.
Yeah.
and how about that? Like, how about going for the sympathy for the devil thing? I think of what was the movie with Keanu Reeves?
Oh, the Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate, right? Where he's actually like a
sin, you know?
Yeah, where he's like in the, you know, the best gig that the devil would have, which would be a lawyer, a super high end lawyer, and he's in everybody's crap, you know?
Yeah,
that could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be a little bit of like sympathy for the devil meets These people, and I got this guy to some mass murderer, or just I got him just for a thrill, just because he got off on it. And I got this guy politician because he just created power. That the fat lot of good that's going to do him after he dies. People come cheap.
You could uplift the thought of people too, and it might be one of those list things in a verse, where you can't. Okay, you can't afford the big home, you can't afford the fancy car, but but people come cheap, and that's more important anyway in your life. Your friends and the people that you make in your life that you keep close to you, are what makes a difference anyway. They, you can make friends cheap, doesn't cost a dime.
There you go. Adding on to that, what if you're talking about like everything that's expensive, right? Like this lawyer's expensive, and this is expensive, and the doctor's expensive. But you know what? The right kind of people come cheap, or that's maybe good people come cheap. Something when that, and then you're talking about that friendship thing. That would be very interesting.
But keep in mind, you can order all those other things. Same thing applies there. If you order a people like right now, it'll take a year to arrive. So just keep that in mind. It's a waiting period. Yeah.
And that's that's not counting the shipping backup that we have.
The supply chain for people is broken down too, So sure.
There's the backup in the fallopian tubes that just, I don't know if that ever cleared out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The people shelves are empty right now, but come back after the snow leaves, there'll be more. Months,
yeah. And, inflation, but people come cheap. I wonder if there's a way, because it is that word cheap, because you almost want to say like friends come cheap, but they ain't free, or they don't come, they come free, but they ain't cheap kind of thing. To be a good friend is not, maybe not monetarily expensive, but it costs you to be a good friend, costs you time,
well, it costs interest, your time,
compassion, all this stuff, and those other kind of investments. I'm not sure how to swing that with the word cheap people, because people is such a broad term, right? For some reason, it makes me think of the beginning of that Marvel movie, Black Widow, with Scarlett Johansson. At the beginning, it's really jarring. It's about human trafficking, which is still a real deal in the world. And so it's all these girls. Of course, it's Marvel, so they're going into the Black Widow program to get trained to be, assassins or whatever. But they're saying, this guy said, we use the one resource the world has way too much of, girls. For human trafficking and stuff, that's brutal. But it almost makes me wonder, or some people think people come cheap. Is there a way to say that, people have so much value? Each of us intrinsically is so valuable, but you'd think people come cheap. Maybe if you look at the world, you'd think, boy, people come cheap, almost like a protest song or a,
is there a way that you can, how they say, kind of thing? You know how they say like a person is smart, but a crowd is stupid. know what I mean? Like maybe like people come cheap, but a human is
that something you coined, Johnny?
Something. No, but I want the t-shirt, Bill.
Well, I like what you said to me. It's like thinking beyond. I mean, people is that people.
Yeah.
It's almost like you need to take it to the value of what people really are in your life, and the people that you love long term become long lasting, never ending friends if you culture it, if you spend your time, if you nurture it, if you send email replies, if you work that, then they don't have to be replaced like some of the things you buy too. Sooner or later you're going to replace the roof on your home, and you're going to replace your car, but with a people investment, that's forever.
Maybe people come cheap, but friends take time, right?
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, maybe just people come in and out of your lives.
Yeah.
So if you are saying, people come cheap, I mean, I see all these people everywhere, and they come in and out of your life that are strangers.
Yeah. Like a new relationship can essentially be cheap, right? It can be just happenstance. It could happen out of nowhere. But then I think, Bill, on the note of what you were saying, it was just like, but if you take the time to cultivate that, and you take the, first of all, to recognize that this other person is worth the time, And, you know, people come cheap and friends take time and they're worth
it. I like that. I mean, friends take a little more effort. Yeah, people are a dime a dozen. Yeah. I mean, there's people everywhere, you know, and people who need people come cheap, you know. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a friend with weed is a friend indeed, I think.
Let's start a new group, up with cheap people. You know, we haven't had that group in a while. You know, we can do that. So. That is not the easiest title. Why didn't you call 12 Apostles? I could have gone all day. People come cheap, you know.
I think this is, I like where this is going though. I mean, I think it's very, you know what? We need another Sympathy for the Devil song, I think, to make that statement. Who killed the Kennedys? And it turns out it was you and me. I mean, like those kind of statements where you can really just sort of drive that home. And as long as you don't even have to mention any names, you just mention situations or something. Yeah. It could be a song about turning to the devil or staying away from the devil. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Staying on the straight and narrow. People come cheap, but you're worth more. Maybe something like that.
What about if it's a commercial jingle for like an eye doctor where pupils come cheap? That's his whole hook.
People come cheap.
That's funny.
I have this amazing comedic friend. I don't know if either of you guys have ever listened to his stuff, Haywood Banks, who's ridiculously, stupidly creative. He's a regular on the Bob and Tom Show all the time, but we used to do stand-up comedy and comedy clubs together, and I'd open a lot of shows for him and watch him. But he had one of his lines was he was an eye care doctor named Dr. Like, you know, like eye care.
Dr. Like eye care.
Like eye care. Yeah, so.
Like eye care.
So
mercy, that's better than one back in baseball we had, Dr. Slaughter.
Oh no,
yeah, that's an unfortunate name for that.
There's somewhere you want to go.
Exactly, it's either that. I mean, he'd probably been more at home at the Conagra Chicken Plant, you know, in the kill for it.
Sounds like a moniker for a serial killer.
I know, or a bad.
They
wrestler.
Call him Dr. Slaughter. Yeah.
He's the one they call Dr. Slaughter. all right, so people come cheap. Is there a way to? Okay, so I like the idea of like the Sympathy for the Devil, which feels like a. Probably more of a rock song. I don't see that being. I mean, I wonder if you could do that as a country thing, maybe like an Eric Church kind of thing, which is a lot of rock in there.
I think
he's done stuff like that. I don't see that going Southern gospel, you know. But what else can we do with that? Can it be some dumb anthem thing? Like, is there a thing about like cheap beer? You know, people go for the, you know, like the two for ones kind of thing. And people, okay, is there some sort of story thing where it's like this, I don't know, man, it almost see like a sign where some of the words fell off the sign and all that's left is people come cheap. You know? Like,
oh, that's funny.
I don't know what that is. You know, a few letters, you know, or words fall off this old dilapidated sign in this rundown, you know, place, and what's left is people come cheap. I don't know what that would be. That'd be building up a whole story around that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you only got 3.5 minutes.
I mean, I've had a lot of, as you know, Brent, I've had, gosh, I think 5 cuts by Cletus T. Judd, and he's a, all he does is parody songs for the most part. We cut some original comedy songs with him, but also had a couple of parody songs with him.
Yeah.
But I mean, here's a stretch for you. I mean, if people are cheap, you know, you could almost parody that John Michael Montgomery song, the Grundy County Auction, where you can't sell them, you know, and the auctioneer's going off, you know, give me an 8, give me a 9, give me a, you know,
yeah.
And nobody's bidding, you know?
Yeah. And then, hey, check me out here. Then crickets.
Whoa! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, what about the adjective for people? What about blank people come cheap? Yeah. And then blank.
Flawed people. Yeah. Desperate people. Unkind people, you know, come cheap.
Hooker. Let's see.
Hooker's getting off the phone. You're making more money than I am, apparently. But,
Well, if it was that, okay, so we've had the angry ex-girlfriend. Thank you, Carrie Underwood, right?
Yeah.
Why can't we have the angry ex-boyfriend? You know what I mean? But like hookers come cheap, like somehow making the statement that it's cheaper to get a hooker than it is to, you know, than it is to be it's a business doing pleasure with you kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, we are going down a bad road here, boy. Exactly. I'm having to edit my brain right
guardrail,
now.
Guardrail, guardrail, guardrail.
Yeah.
Guardrail.
Yeah. So I just don't think you want to write. Maybe it's just me, but I just don't think you want to set yourself up to put hookers and cum in the same title. I just don't think you want to do that. Even if it's cheap for people to do that, I still don't think you want to go there.
No, I don't think you do. Not in any of the genres I work in.
Yeah.
That's a campfire song.
What if it's like you said, desperate people come cheap? What if it's like one of the story songs, like advice from a parent or a stranger or something?
Well, I think you're onto it now.
At a bar.
People that are no good, that really are not your friends, those kind of people are cheap.
Yeah.
You know, but real people, really good people are not.
What if it's a like a biopic type of thing on being a star.
Yeah. I was thinking that too, that kind of rock thing of, you know, the hairband kind of thing of when you get all the girls you want or whatever, you kind of find out people come cheap.
Yeah.
Lambos are expensive. And
every artist has those sycophants and those hangers on, beggars and hangers on type stuff. You'd have to be careful how to do that though. You don't want to demean your audience, I guess.
You don't want to do that.
I think for me, the most meat on the bone is you really got to back in that to make that title work. You know, I love the thought of people come cheap, but good friends aren't, you know, the people you want in your life are not cheap. Yeah. All these other folks, these folks that'll tell you you're great while you're going up the chart, those people, they're pretty darn cheap. But when you're coming down, you know,
if people come cheap, people go easy. You know, that kind of thing. You know,
if like, people come cheap, I like that. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, the ones that aren't really invested in you, you haven't put that a relationship investment in, right? They're not real friends, like you're talking about, Bill. Like, so you're going up the chart. They come easy and they go quick.
And they go easy.
Exactly. So a little bit of the easy come, easy go thing. So that. You know, it's like, if there's one thing I've learned, people come cheap when you got all the money, and they go easy when it's gone.
Yeah.
Come cheap when you, people come cheap when you're on top, and they sure go quick when you're off the top kind of thing, you know, when you come back down. I was thinking like no good people come cheap. No good people come cheap. Right.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I don't know how you play with that, but
well, that's got a nice double thought to it that way. No good. That's nice. Yeah. Who sent the idea? And I'd like to personally thank them for this great idea. Who was it?
John Holman. John if you'd Holman. Like to meet Bill behind the woodshed. Yeah.
over by the seesaw on the playground. He's like got a couple words that he would like to
hi. Come on.
Yeah, with you.
Had a nice morning ride expecting a relaxing afternoon and wham, run
came
into
in
this.
And crapped all over it. Yeah.
Well, it's better, John, than like, you know, if a big artist comes in and goes, we got to write this title. No.
Well, if a big artist comes in, the answer is yes, we do.
Always yes.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and I'll
it's a great
ice
idea.
Bath afterwards. Yeah. So.
Okay, so what about changing like com? Like people go, you know, friends go, blah, people come cheap or.
Yeah, I think that to me, that's it. Either way, to me, that's the essence of it. People come cheap, but man, the people that last in your life, they don't. You know,
they don't.
You got to spend some time, and it's worth the time that you give. What you give is worth the extra time or extra money that you give is worth it. You know, to have those people in your life.
Yeah. I want to cheat and say you like put a no at the beginning. No people come cheap, you know, which is a jacked up title.
Yeah.
So mainly if John walked in the room with us, we try to talk him out of it.
What else you got? No, I think this is where Brent goes to that 3000, you know, hook book of his and goes, maybe this.
Yeah. I'm not sure we're going to get 1,000 people singing this in a concert. People come cheap.
I know.
People suck.
People come cheap. I know.
Unless it is that sympathy for the devil thing, which I think could be pretty cool. You know, especially from the idea of like a politician, you know, like votes.
Who else would think that people come cheap? So you know what? Okay, so maybe not sympathy for the devil, but so you just hit on something else. It could be from the perspective of a politician. It could be just a slam on American politics.
Yeah. People come cheap, and you're spending other people's money.
Yeah, yeah, and people, you know, people come cheap if you get them scared. Uh-huh. People come cheap if you, you know, if you get them angry. That kind of a thing. Like, who else would think that people came cheap? What kind of a person would think that? A politician and the devil are right. I don't know. You could tell the difference between the two if you met them.
Yeah, that's really the thought. Who actually thinks that people come cheap?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah.
What a great statement. I think we got some good looks at it, fellas. If we were digging trenches the whole freaking time, not for nothing. It was just a boulevard of nothing but red lights, man. But we made it to the other side. You know?
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Brent, if John Holman wants to write this with you,
contact Bill White.
Yeah, I think it just, I would just tell him it just needs a bridge. Finish it up yourself.
Yeah. You're right there.
You're so close, John.
You're so close.
You don't need me.
Right
you don't
there.
Need me.
You're right there.
I feel guilty taking a piece of this, honestly.
That's the challenge. I mean, that truly is, you know, and anything, you know how this works too, guys, where, I'm sorry, is his name the synonym? What's his name again?
John Holman.
John. So John, I mean, to me, we sit in writing rooms all the time and ideas like that routinely come up. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying that a writer will bring in an idea like that, thinking maybe there's something there. And then you do sort of kind of hear crickets in the room, you know, and you move on to something else. But walk into another writer's room with two other people and they might see the whole thing going, oh, think of things that we, the three of us, have not even thought of today that would elevate even more. That happens all the time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and sometimes it has to do with genre because, you know, talking about doing my personal song title challenge. I mean, some of those songs sat around for years because for years I was a country hammer. Everything looked like a country nail. But now that I've been broadening more and write like more bluegrass or more Southern gospel or CCM or whatever, I look at it through different lenses more naturally now and go, oh, that's why I never wrote that, because that's a Southern gospel thing. I didn't think in those terms. That's why I never wrote that as a country song. Couldn't make it work because it's not a country song. Not for me. Mm-hmm. This title, it goes over in this other lane. And so sometimes that happens as well.
You know, and the other thing that does happen occasionally too is, you know, sometimes a writer will bring in an idea that they're really married to or that they really love and they think that I'll take it into Brent and think Brent might be the right person that day. And maybe nothing happens. You know, and we come off the idea. And sometimes a writer will hold on to that idea, aside it, put it aside. Don't give up on it. Put it there. Mm-hmm. Might take it to another writer. Still might not work, but you just don't give up on it. And someday, and sometimes, you know, if the person is a complete, you know, is a writer and they play piano or they play guitar or whatever, one day the whole thing might fall out by itself as a solo write, and it still gets cut, you know, if they bring it home, you know? So if you really believe in your idea, you know, man, I'm a big one for don't give up on it. It's like lines in songs. Sometimes you'll be co-writing and, you know, and I've done this and I know you've done this, Brent, where I'll go, I'll suggest a line and you get crickets from the other writers and you just, and I'll fight for it two or three times and still get crickets and I just give up. But I'll put that over in a side note somewhere to pull it out somewhere else, you know, that it can be, that it can be used, you know?
Oh, for sure.
So. Yeah. I really do like the whole idea coming from a political, like you're the, you just get to rip on politics by coming from the perspective of a politician, you know, which is a very sort of Don Henley thing to do, right? Like you said, Garden of Allah, and he's done that in a few other, on a few other tracks.
Dirty Laundry and all she can do is dance. I'm very political kind of stuff.
Get the widow on the set. We need dirty. He's coming from like the perspective of a TV news.
Network,
you know? Yeah. So I think that could be a really compelling song. And and you're, who's not going to want to listen to that when you see that title? You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, the title's
what the hell is this about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's so funny how that works sometimes. So what I like about this the most is that a lot of times in my email box for this particular part of the show that we do, Bill, I'll just have like all kinds of titles where people are just trying to be clever with the title. You know what I mean?
And a lot of like, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy kind of crap.
Yeah, all that kind of crap. Yeah.
Or if Adele married a farmer, would there be a farmer in Adele? Those kind of songs.
Exactly.
You know, they kind of write themselves. You know?
It writes itself. Yeah, right to the toilet. But then when we have one that's like I, well, we always talk about, like, you know, the dance. If you just saw that in a hook book and you're like, that's the most boring title you could possibly imagine until you do something like this and you come up with the angle that they did. And, and now it's gone from the most boring title you could possibly have into the most, one of the most iconic songs ever written.
Yeah. And that's where you have to think about that. I mean, the dance, they're probably, you could probably bring, like you said, bring that up as a title and we might look at each other again and go, where do you go with that? But if you think about it as a songwriter, what's the old axiom? It's not, you know, you're not, for the most part, you're not writing quote unquote the dance. So, you know, I want to know about the two people who are dancing together, what's going on in their lives. You know, that's the interesting part of that kind of thing. It's like, we've talked about that before, Brent. It's one of the more brilliant things. Somebody wrote about Bobby McGee that Kris Kristofferson wrote. That's so colorful all the way through it. His theory on that was, don't tell me about the truck. Don't tell me about the truck. Tell me about what's going on inside the truck.
Yeah.
And that's where the song really starts to pop, you know?
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Well, that brings us to the end of another song title challenge. Please send in your titles, as many as you want. And I can't state this enough because this continues to happen. People will send me in a big listicle of titles and then they'll add another one to it and they'll cut and paste the listicle with the new one. And the new ones are going to get lost, guys, because I don't know, I can't do inventory on five emails with 25 of the same titles plus a new one. So just send in the new one, you know, and you can send in as many as you want. There's no limit. Send in one list. It's great. It's all good, but don't send me like the same titles. Otherwise I get a false sense of, I feel rich with titles and we're not. We got 25 emails, the same stuff, exactly the same stuff. So send them to info@daredevilproduction.com, put song title challenge on it. And who knows, you might have yourself a hit songwriter or two talking about it.
Hey, I just want to tell Johnny that, if nothing else, I do feel like I've just lived his title because I've just done 35 minutes and I didn't make a dime.
So that's the joke. You're living it, pal.
I'm living the song. You know,
it's like the people that put up the social media posts. It's like the triangle play button, but it's a picture, and people keep pressing it. All right, guys. We'll see you in a couple weeks on this one. This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing,
and we'll see you at the top.